You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay, no other announcements. Go to the scripture reading. I've got an easy one today. Ephesians 5:16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Am I getting shorter, or is this thing getting taller? Yes, okay, yes. Well, we welcome you. Thank you for being here. Just a little update on how things are going in loops. And we're very fortunate we still have a lot of classes. In fact, starting in the morning at 8:30, we have a class, and there's another one at 10 o'clock. And then tomorrow night we'll have our Bible study, which we're doing the lessons that you people pick up on after we run them through there. And Tuesday morning, it's all morning from 8 to 12 at the jail. 2 to 3 at a halfway house, and then Tuesday night, parole office again. Wednesday morning, a program with the women. We're doing a program called From Garbage to Gems, and then just a regular spirituality program. Then that afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, at one of the relapse places there. And then Thursday night, we do the rec room. Friday morning, there's a class at the women's halfway house, another class. And then Friday afternoon, we go to jail from 1 to 2. And Saturday, we just knock off. Do what we want to do. But anyhow, I say that being very thankful that we get to do that. I talked a little bit when we met and got together here and had the pizza and the good time the other night about the programs that we can lose. And just like this, most of them that we can, because they're state funded. And as this world gets worse, and as we are drawn farther and farther away from the gospel of Christ, those things become more in jeopardy every day. I have people now who refuse to sit in some of those classes because we present Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. And we've been able to get by with that. Isn't that odd to have to say we're getting by with being able to preach the gospel? But we've been able to get by with that. But I know this. I know that none of those people will jeopardize their job for that. And if push comes to shove, we'll be shoved out and they'll go on with their programs. I believe there'll come a time that they won't even be able to make them attend an AA program. And right now, our rec room is counted if they want to count it. So if they'd rather come to the rec room than to go to an AA program, we can sign them off as having attended an AA program. So we've been blessed in that. We have received a lot of favor in our town and with these different programs. So continue to pray for us. We get to present the gospel to people who may have never heard it, may never hear it again. In some of these programs that we have in these places, they're not just Odessa people. Now, the parole office is strictly Odessa people. They've come back to Ector County on parole. But in these drug halfway houses, they're from Amarillo, Abilene, Angelo, all over West Texas, and some of them, just recently we had a girl from San Antonio, out there. They could be from other places in the state. And so we get our shot at them, as it were. So pray that we'll do a good job with that. That's our greatest need, is to be able to, put forth Jesus Christ. That's our purpose, and sometimes we're very lousy at it. Sometimes we don't do a good job of it. But just pray that we will. I want to talk to you. The verse was redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Talk to you a little bit about time today. If we went back to the beginning of time, we find that in when God created the earth, and he said in the evening and the morning were the first day. So a day is measured by evening and morning. And so whether God had done that or not, science can say that's how we measure a day. We don't need God. The month is measured by the sun and the rotation of the sun and the earth, like a year is, the rotation of the time it takes the earth to move around the sun. And so scientists can say, we know that's a year. We know that's a day. We know that's a month by scientific evidence. You know what's interesting? Only God did a week. You can't measure a week scientifically. But God measured a week. He worked 6 days, 7 days. He rested, and then they started a new week. And he'd say on the first day of the week, on the seventh day of the week, God started the week. God has dealt a lot with time, like Paul said, redeeming the time. Take care of the time. Don't waste the time. And as we who live in this fantastic age of technology have got all of these time savers, and how many of you got enough time now? Go look at the time savers you've got that you didn't have years ago. So surely you got a lot of time on your hand. No. It seems that we really don't. And if we do, I started to say the Bible said the Bible didn't, Mama did. She said idle mind was devil's workshop. And one of the things we find in working with ex-inmates, people coming out of drug and addiction and alcohol addiction programs, is the one thing that is so dangerous for them is free time. Free time. We get caught up in this thing of time. God gave a lot of lessons in the Bible on time. And I want to draw your attention this morning back to when Moses delivered the Jews from slavery in the land of Egypt. And let's go back to the book of Exodus and look at a verse there, chapter 3 and verse 8. And here's what God had said. He said, I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And salvation, getting the Jews out of Egypt was a type of salvation. Getting the Jews into the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey, is a type of the highest possibilities of the Christian life. Some of you have had a very prosperous Christian life. I have had a lot of failures in my Christian life. My fault, but there were years that if you'd arrested me for being a Christian, you'd had to release me for lack of evidence. There wasn't any. And we see this oftentimes in the Bible. There was God's children. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me. Looks like it even Titus himself did that. Paul and Barnabas had a clash, and we don't hear anything about Barnabas anymore. Not a matter of who's right and wrong, but just who is still serving. And so this trip from Egypt, when God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel, and they walked out on that Passover night when God killed all the firstborn in Egypt, until they walked into the land of Canaan, that land of milk and honey was to be a brief time of being instructed on what to do in the land of Canaan. It represents the growth of a Christian. If you will look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2 tells us about this time. Deuteronomy 1:2 said there are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. 11 days it was to take them to get from leaving Egypt to get to the land of milk and honey. Now, most of you know this. You know that God told Moses to speak to the rock. Moses didn't speak to the rock. He hit the rock. He got in trouble. But prior to that, they sent people to spy out the land. 12 men. And by the way, they sent great men. They didn't send errand boys. They picked out of the 12 tribes the best in that tribe to go look at the land. And they came back and said, the land is like God said it was. It is a land of milk and honey. And one of the scenes that you will remember is that they carried one deal of grapes between them. It was so big. But between two men, they said it's fantastic, but they said something. But we got problems. The people are giants there. We can't take it. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. And they will defeat us. And so they came back and voted 10-2 not to build. We're not going to go do it. And then Moses got all over them. Caleb got all over them. Joshua got all over them. They said, okay, we'll do it. And by that time, God said, it's too late. You better not try it now. I'm not with you. And sure enough, they get whipped. But that 11 days turned into 40 years. Now, you talk about a waste of time. 40 years on an 11-day trip. Go with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Numbers 14, and we're going to stay there for a few minutes and talk about some things that went on. Numbers 14, verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. And none of them ever want to do that. They're always hollering out something. We don't have this to eat. We don't have that to eat. Verse 3 said, "Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than thee." Then Moses began to pray. Verse 13, he began to pray for the children of Israel and for God to pardon them and to take care of them. And then skip down to the last, verse 30. And he said, "Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness ye shall be consumed, and there shall ye die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned to make all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report from the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search that land, lived still." 40 years, they are running in place. 40 years, they're making no progress. 40 years, no growth. What are we doing? Have you grown every year that you've been God's child? Anybody got some spots like Israel? And man, let me tell you, I know. A guy asked me one time, and I wasn't trying to be smart, because I'd given this some thought. But he said, "How long have you served the Lord?" And I said, "Let me look at my watch. I don't think I need a calendar." How long have you serve the Lord? I'm talking about being open to what he wanted you to do. I'm not talking about being churchy. I'm not talking about the fact that we don't do some bad things anymore. I'm talking about, when have we said, "Lord, what would you have me do?" We don't have to get off into drugs. You don't have to get off into alcohol. It might be that we're just going to make a living. These people that denied God were good people. They were of the one true God. Their religion was the one true religion on earth. But when it come down to believing God, and when they looked and saw the problems, like the giants, they said, man, we can't do this. And I'm sure that they could blame a lot of things. In fact, they blame God. They blame Moses. They blame people for not being where they were. Do you still have the same faith in God you had 10 years ago? I have to kind of look at my whole heart. Have you lost the thrill of being saved since you got saved? Think about that a little bit. Why is it that a new Christian would have more joy and zip about him than somebody that's allegedly served God 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? 5 years, 10 years. Goodness. Every minute in the wilderness was a waste of time to these people. That journey is, you find in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Of the things that took place, the murmuring, the whining, it wasn't the drunks, and it wasn't the drug users, and it wasn't the murderers, and it wasn't the socialist. It's just the whiners. Well, why'd God do this? Why'd God do that? Every minute in the wilderness was a waste of time. Every minute in the wilderness was worthless time. Hold your finger that Numbers and go with me to the book of Hebrews for a moment. And the process is I run across this verse and the silence of it, I guess, spoke volumes. But look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are said to do a grant. That's when they're leaving Egypt. Notice verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. There is 40 years between those two verses that God just left blank. Nothing here. 40 years. He talks about when they left Egypt. He talks about when they come to the city of Jericho and walked around it and the walls fell down. 40 years, God doesn't even mention. 40 years left blank. And I know in my life that there's some blank years. And I'm sorry about that. There should never be any blank years in our life. God just skipped it. God left it blank. Now, this is not necessarily, as I said before, immoral time. It could have been just raising a family. It could have been preparing for retirement. It could be making a living. It could be a lot of things that are ordinary things. But the question is, not so much, and but they were times in my life that I was a good daddy, but I wasn't a spiritual one. Which means I fail. See, it's not, do you make a good husband, you make a good daddy, you make a good wife, make a spiritual one? How is it spiritually between us and God? How long are we really serving God? If we count that time that God counts on His clock, will we need a calendar? Or could we get by with a watch? And the third thing about this, that every minute in the wilderness was the worst of times. Not just a waste of time and not just worthless time, but the worst of. If we go back and read about these people, they whined, they moaned, they complained. Many of them died. All of them died through that 40 years. Everybody that said the giants are too big are dead before they get to Jericho. They're going to die in the wilderness. They were serpents sent to bite them. They were so many different things they came across. and they whined and they moaned. And nothing is worse. Nobody in here likes to be around a whiner. And none of us think we're whiners. But you don't hear about my problem? No. It's like a guy told me one time, he said, you know, half of people don't want to hear about your problems, another half glad you got them. Think about that. So, they were not happy people. The Bible said, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. about 3 weeks ago, at the rec room, and we've had some rough crowds recently at the rec. I mean, they're just hard enough. Some of them won't come in. The counselor has to go sit with them because you can't make them do anything religious. And I said, hey, I'm not trying to make you. You came over here. I didn't come and get you. You know, you came here for the refreshments, and now you don't want to sit through this, but that's your business. Anyway, I was speaking on excuses. And the Bible said, you remember the first time excuses is ever mentioned is when, you know, the guy gave the big party. Jesus told about a guy giving a supper. And the Bible said they begin to make an excuse, which means they didn't have one. They had to go make one. They began to make an excuse, and the excuses were kind of unique. One guy said that he had bought some land, and he had to go look at it. The guys invited him to supper. Seldom do you look at land at night. I mean, that's just kind of a... but it's kind of like a fellow that asked his next-door neighbor, said, can I borrow your lawnmower? And he said, no. And he said, why? He said, my son's in Afghanistan. And he said, oh, what's that got to do with your lawnmower? He said, nothing, but if I don't want to loan you my lawnmower, one excuse is good as the other. So we get into excuses. But God said, you have no excuse. And before Charles and Rick, some of you have been to our rec room, and this guy's a fantastic musician. He really is. But before Charles could hit the first chord on his guitar and the ladies playing the keyboard, I think he was Just As I Am. There was a big black guy that just started down the aisle. And we have some folks sitting at the front to counsel with these when they come and to get out a Bible and make sure that they know what they're doing. And anyway, so I spoke to one of the guys, and he got over here with him. And that night after it was over, the fellow had counseled with him, said, first time salvation right here. And so I went to the guy, and we have a little booklet that we give out called What Have I Done and What Do I Do Now. And basically, the What Have I Done is the plan of salvation where he can get in the privacy of his room somewhere with his own Bible and go over this, and it won't be just an emotional situation that one day he may begin to doubt. We want him to see God put in writing everything we need to know. So, and then the second part of it is, what do I do now? And it hadn't received the best acclaim from some pastors because we don't mention most of the things that people tell folks you need to do once you get saved. We talk about the warfare and the things he's going to have. But anyhow, since that time, this guy, and he just a big old strong guy, probably maybe 30 years of age, from Houston, Texas. He's out here, and they sent him out here in our town. But he has had the sweetest spirit. He comes up to Linda, and he's just so soft and so kind. You can tell what God's done in his life. And if we don't do anything else, that's where we want to get. Folks say, well, I believe, you know, we need to teach them. Well, you need to get them saved first. You don't do much good teaching them if they're not saved. And then, but to get them saved. And even in us that are so big on some of the mystery truths, you know, in the last book that Paul wrote to Timothy, you know what he told him to do? He told him to do the work of an apostle, didn't he? He told him to do the work of a teacher, didn't he? What he said was do the work of an evangelist. Until they're saved, we got nobody to teach. Until they're saved, we got nobody. And we're getting in a time where not many people are saved. I don't know how many of you keep abreast of Barna, who does all these surveys, the Barna group. And it's amazing how few people that they survey really are into the fundamentals of the Bible. And when I mention that, I'm talking about the virgin birth, salvation by grace, the deity of Christ, the return of Christ. Folks just don't believe it anymore. Most of the evangelicals anymore believe there's more than one way to heaven. More than one thing they can do to serve God. And in our little town of a little over 100,000 people, we've got, I was told the other day, we have 200 churches. And I will venture to say that this morning in Odessa, Texas, there's not 10,000 people in church. And then when you take the kind of churches that many of them are in, you can cut that by another tenth. And so the Lord could come and take most of them out in Odessa, Texas. Nobody know it anyway. He said they went to New Mexico to gamble and probably won't be back. Hey. That's the type of place we live. See, we need to be getting out there where the firing line is, instead of complaining about what's taking place. Time. What are you doing with your time? Is it profitable? One, is it profitable for him? Because if it's profitable for him, it'll be real profitable for you. Now, I think it can be profitable for us and not be profitable to him. But if it's profitable to him, it'll be real profitable to us. Think about your time. Make sure it's not a waste of time or a worthless time or the worst of time. Thank God that you have Jesus Christ. You could still worship. In fact, I don't think the Jews ever thought about this, but let me suggest to you that you thank God you can gripe. You ever think about that? We live in a country, we can still gripe and moan and complain. Thank God for it. But if one fellow said, show me a backslidden Christian and I'll show you an unhappy Christian. And that's very true. Let's pray. Our Father, pray that I hadn't messed it up too bad. And that the simplicity of the message would touch hearts. That each of us as individuals in this coming week would redeem the time, because the days are evil. We don't know how much more you're going to let them get evil. We don't know how close they were to the days of Noah. We really don't. But what we do know, they're more evil than they've ever been in our lifetime. So, Father, help us that we use our time for your glory. Bless this church. Bless these people that pray for us. Bless these that give. Bless these that just are such good friends to us. Protect them, watch over them, and use them to glorify your Son. In His name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.